They put the small clowns all around my bed and in between my sheets. I can see them do it even though I'm asleep. I know it's going to come, but I can't stop it. I feel so small and helpless against them. The clowns roll around as I squirm, trying to get out of my bed. I hear someone laughing. It's my sister Erin. She's always laughing at me. Brian is laughing too. I can see him standing in the corner pretending like he's innocent and doesn't have anything to do with this game. I scream, "Mommy!" There's no reply. There never is. "Why are you doing this to me? Erin, get him off of me. Brian, help me, please." Clowns roll on my bed, and it feels as though they're trying to get under the blankets with me. Their eyes stare at me, telling me not to scream, but I can't help myself. "Mommy, help!" I scream again and again. Then I'm sitting in the toy room playing. Mom and Dad are gone. I don't know where. Erin and Brian are babysitting me. I hate it when they babysit. They're so mean. I get up to go to the bathroom, and I shut the bathroom door. "Rah!" Erin yells as she thrusts her masked face into mine from behind the door. I think maybe she's going to kill me this time, but she's just wearing one of those Halloween masks. The face is all twisted and huge eyes stare at me as I scream. She laughs and takes off the mask, throwing it onto the floor. "Geez, it's only me, stupid. You think you'd know by now it's just me, baby. Are you going to cry now, little baby? Want a bottle? Going to tell Mommy when she gets home?" Erin laughs hysterically and runs down the stairs to tell Brian how she tricked me again. Now I'm under my bed. I can barely fit under there. I'm getting too big. My back pushes up against the bed frame. I don't know why I'm here. Then I hear it, "Looking for something?" I look up and see the clown staring at me, daring me to get close enough to catch it. I wriggle to move closer, but my body doesn't fit under the bed any further. He's laughing at me. I start to cry, and that's when I see the rope. He brings it closer to me, and I try to back up, but I'm stuck now, and I can't move forward or backward. "Please help me," I whimper. "I'll help you," the clown says, and pulls the rope over my head and begins to tighten it around my neck. I can't get free. He pulls it tight, and I start to choke. "I can't breathe." I struggle, and the rope gets tighter around my neck. "Please, someone help me," I gasp. I try to reach my arms up to loosen the rope, but I can't get them away from my side. "Please," I whisper, "please." He laughs and laughs and laughs. I struggle to get loose. I pull and tug. My neck burns where it rubs against the rope as I try to yank it loose. I open my eyes and all I see is gold cloth. I pull some more and it finally gives. As it falls away from my face, I search frantically around the room, my vision finally resting on the TV screen. I sit up and tug at the blanket some more, and it falls away from my neck. My shirt is wet with sweat. The house is silent. I reach under the sofa and feel the cool iron of the pan and feel a bit safer. I look around to see if anyone is in the room with me, and I remember that Derek is upstairs sleeping. My mouth feels dry and sticky. I need a drink. I stand up, fold the blanket, and lay it at the end of the sofa. I take the frying pan from under the sofa and head to the kitchen for a glass of water. I turn on the light with the handle of the frying pan. Dirty dishes are spread out on the counter from Derek's dinner. Bits of rice stick to my feet as I walk across the room to the sink. What a slob. The least he could do is clean up after himself. I stand in front of the sink and try to decide if I should start the dishes or not. No, let him do them. I reach above with my right hand into the cupboard for a glass, my left hand still wielding the frying pan. Ah! Something bit me! I pull my hand out to inspect it, and blood everywhere. I throw the pan down, turn on the faucet, and thrust my hand under the cool water. I can taste the saltiness of my tears. I look at my hand. Several small teeth marks line the inside of my thumb and forefinger. I grab a towel with my good left hand and wrap it around the wound. I turn off the water, grab my pan again, and look above to see into the cupboard. I stand on my tiptoes, but I still cannot see inside. I back up to the table, reach behind me, and drag a chair to the sink next to me, my eyes never leaving the cupboard door. I slowly climb onto the chair with my pan in front of me, ready to attack. I peer into the cupboard. Ow! Stinging! My eyes are stinging! I can't see! I lose my balance and the pan goes crashing to the floor, my hands flailing, trying to grab hold of something, anything. The towel falls off my wounded hand and I feel the blood begin to rush again. Where the hell is Derek? My feet slip from under me and my left hand hits the sink as I slam to the floor.
My eyes water and sting. I can barely make out the figures coming toward me. I tried to slide backward on my butt, my bloody hands slipping out from under me with every thrust backward. Ouch! Something just bit me. Get away from me, you bastards! My legs kick out, and I feel something smash against my left leg and hear a tiny oomph. I know, it hurts like hell, you little shit, I yell. My vision starts to clear, and now I can see Toothy and Bleaky running near my side toward my face. Where's Jocko? My hand scans the floor for my frying pan, and at last comes upon it. Take this, you little! And I swing and smash Toothy. His body flies across the kitchen. Blinky jumps onto my chest, and I swing at him with my injured hand, but he grabs a hold of it. Let go! I shake my hand, trying to get it off of me, but he won't let go. I struggle to get to my feet and fall back down again. The sucker is still hanging on. I bring the pan down over again and slam it down on him and my hand. Ooh! I pick up the pan. My hand is free from Blinky, and I slide it away from his writhing body, then bring the pan down on him again and again. Pieces of his porcelain head scatter throughout my kitchen. My hand throbs. Suddenly, my head jerks back. Ah! Toothy, the little bastard, is pulling my hair. I swing my head from side to side, trying to throw him off, but he remains attached. Okay, that's the way you want to play, you little asshole. You're going to die now. I make my way to the counter and open the drawer next to the sink. I pull out a pair of scissors and cut off my hair where he hangs. I shake my head and he flies into the sink. I stab him with the scissors, trying to force his little body down the garbage disposal. He claws at my hand and his feet slide down into the opening. I beat the scissors upon his head and body. My right hand brushes up against the switch, but I can't extend my fingers to turn it on. I lean in toward the wall and my hand pushes the switch on. Toothy's legs thump against the blades of the disposal and he screams. I pound his head with the scissors and he slumps over and slides further into the disposal. I shove his body the rest of the way down into the disposal and throw the scissors onto the counter. Quack, 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 quack. His body disappears down into the hole. Die, you piece of shit! I turn around and see Blinky's body lying on the floor. I pick it up. Time for you to join your brother. I turn and throw his body into the sink down the hole and listen as the blades eat what remains. What the hell are you doing? I look and see Derek standing in the doorway. His eyes are wide with fear. I turn off the disposal and tell him my good news. I got Blinky and Toothy. They're dead. What? He screams. They're dead. I killed them. Well, you know, the disposal killed them, I explained. What the hell are you talking about? Who's dead? Toothy and Blinky. They attacked me, but I killed them. Now there's only one left. Jocko, help me find him. He's got to be around here somewhere. I push past him and go into the living room. I have no idea who you're talking about. Blinky? Toothy? What? Are you talking about those damn clowns? He complains as he follows me into the living room. Yes, now help me find him. Derek looks back into the kitchen. Where did all this blood come from? I told you they attacked me, but I got the best of them this time. They're dead, I explain as I throw cushions off the furniture and shove the sofa and love seat away from the wall. What happened to your hand? He grabs my arm. Let go. I try to yank my arm back, but I can't. I have to find him. Would you please just stop for a minute and let me look at your hand? I stop and thrust my hand into his face. There, you happy? Now will you help me find Jocko? Derek ignores my request, firms his grip on my arm, and drags me into the kitchen to the table. Sit down, he commands. Let's put some ice on that hand. It looks like shit. I wince as he reaches into the cupboard to take out a bowl. He fills it with ice. Put your hand in the bowl. Can you even feel your fingers? I can feel them throbbing now. I don't know, I answer. Well, try, damn it. He moves his face closer to my hand to spot any additional movement. A little, but I can't straighten them out. They must be broken, he declares. We need to get you to a hospital. He motions toward the phone like he's going to call an ambulance. No, I'm not going to the hospital. What, you're just going to walk around with a broken hand? I'll be fine. I'll just splint it up here. He looks at me with astonishment and says, yeah, right. I'm serious. I'm not going to the hospital. If you're wanting to help, can you please look for something for splints? Okay, fine. You don't want to seek medical treatment and want to walk around your whole life with a deformed hand? Fine. We'll splint it at home. That's fine by me. He begins slamming drawers and cupboards while on his tirade. He comes back to the table with some chopsticks and lays them next to the bowl of ice, then goes into the bathroom and returns with some bandages. He sits next to me and begins drying my hand. He forces his voice to be calm. Would you mind terribly telling me what happened here tonight? I sigh and then repeat what I've already said numerous times. They attacked me. I killed them. He grins with what looks like pain. A little more detail would be appreciated. He takes the bandages and unrolls the gauze, breaks the chopsticks to finger size, and starts splinting my fingers while I tell him what went on. Well, I got up to get a drink. When I opened the cupboard door, one of them bit my hand. I climbed on the chair to see the cupboard and what was inside to try to catch it, and the damn thing sprayed something in my eyes, blinding me. I fell to the floor, and when my vision cleared, I saw them coming at me. I smashed one with the frying pan, and the other I managed to get down the garbage disposal. Then I picked up the squished one and shoved it down the disposal too, and that's when you came in. Derek finishes bandaging my hand in silence. He grimaces as he looks at me and gets up to put the things away. Maybe I should stay home with you today, he concludes. Oh, great, 2-1, for sure we'll get him. This is great news. He finally believes me. Yeah, sure. First, though, why don't you try to get some sleep? You look exhausted. I'll stand guard to make sure nothing happens to you, but I doubt they'll try anything with me around. Maybe. I don't know about his plan of his. Well, here, he says, takes my arm and leads me into the living room. Lay down here, he says, and puts the cushions back on the sofa, pushes it back against the wall. He pats the cushions. Lay down here. I'll just clean up the mess in the kitchen while you sleep. If you need me, just call. Sleep does sound good, and it would be easier to search during the day. I lay on the sofa. Shouldn't I stay awake just in case? He covers me with the blanket. No, I'll be fine. You get some rest. Okay, but if you see or hear anything, wake me. He smiles. Okay, deal. Now you sleep. You look exhausted. I am, I whisper. As I lay on the sofa, my thoughts fade as I listen to the broom brush against the kitchen floor.